Can I use one of this?
Sure.
All right. Yes, sir. Oh, up here? I'm lost. Sorry, I haven't been in America in a while, so lost some time. And I haven't speak English in a while regularly, so if I get the word mixed up, sorry for that. And but I forget a lot of English word, amen? So if you have your Bible, Mark chapter 5. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here. My two daughters are very excited to travel with me. Lynn and then Sophia, she went to the children's ministry. And we have a lot of fun. I will tell people in my family, we have three jokester and three serious people. And my two daughters and I, we're a jokester. So we do all kind of crazy stuff, traveling, driving up here from California, just laugh. And my wife is the more serious type. And if we laugh a little loud, she'll tell us to be quiet or anything like that. So I like to tease a little bit. Not a little bit, actually a lot. Amen? And okay, Mark chapter 5. Let me, I appreciate Pastor Barnes, Pastor Gilchrist, allow me to be here, and he will encourage you guys to pass out the card or the track. And I just, let me say something about that. I was talking to Chris, a young man who's half Vietnamese. A friend of mine back in 1988, she did not know what I was going through. She did not know that I was, God been working my heart, and I was a bitter, angry young person. And because of the war in Cambodia, I think I told you guys that a few years ago, I was just very bitter and very angry, and I came to America as a little boy, and when I was like 15, 16, God started working my heart, and in my heart I knew there is a God up there, and I already knew that the statue that was not God, and nobody witnessed to me. But a friend of mine, her name is Kim Lin, or Lin Nguyen. She's Vietnamese. And she had no idea that I was, God been working my heart, and I've been thinking about God. And I was at a point in my life, I just very angry and very bitter. And she had no idea that God was working my heart. And all she did was gave me an invitation to her church, Vietnamese church. It was Pinecrest Baptist Church and a Vietnamese congregation. I reached out to Vietnamese refugees there in Atlanta. And she actually invited her, my best friend, Nigeria. And she turned to me and she said, "Two, if you want to go, you can go also." And my eyes just lit up, and because nobody ever invited me to anything. So I was like, and she had no idea. I just wanted to know God. I knew that there's a God up there, and that's all she did. She gave me an invitation, and when Sunday came, I went to church, and I already told her, I promised I go to church, and it was raining, and I walked like 45 minutes, and then I got saved that Sunday, just from an invitation, and because she had no idea, I was like, very angry, very bitter. I was, God already been working my heart. So I just want to encourage you that sometimes just a little invitation, and you don't know what somebody's going through. And maybe somebody like myself was just a bitter, angry young man, and just God been working my heart, and you just never know. And I just want to encourage you in that, okay? And so Mark chapter 5, let me read it, and then we'll get going. I have something to outline in the Khmer language, so I'm trying to back and forth, okay? If I speak Khmer, this Cambodian language is Khmer, K-H-M-E-R. If I speak Khmer, just let me know, all right? And, but thank you so much. Before I read, I'm sorry, I just thank you so much for your church, for your faithful prayers and support. You guys gave us the biggest offering toward the land, And I'll tell you more about during the lunchtime. We're very excited about that, about the land, about building our own building. You don't have to rent, and then don't have to pay rent every month. So we're very excited about it. And we have the Bible College, Bible Institute, and Lord willing, one day, if God allows us, we want to have a Christian school, and that would be awesome. Okay, I'll just tell you guys a little bit about that. But thank you so much for your church. And you guys are a tremendous blessing to my family and the people there in Cambodia. Thank you so much for your investment. And I'll show in my message, I want to preach this message because I'll tell you some of the testimony that been saved because a church like yours that give faithfully, that invest in the people in Cambodia. Okay, let me read Mark chapter 5 and we'll get on going. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, or he was a demon possessed, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that were possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, "Go home to thy friends, and tell how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let us pray, and we'll get started. Father, Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful morning. Thank you so much for Temple Baptist Church, for the privilege and the opportunity to preach your word, Father. It's truly a privilege to serve you. And I pray that your will be done. Pray that your Holy Spirit will lead me and guide me to say the thing that is according to your will and not according to my own thinking. I pray you help me, Father, and I pray you speak to our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, I love this passage. And I could tell you a number of stories. And when I read this passage, I think I told you guys about 8 or 9 years ago about, I remember a young lady in a refugee camp in Thailand. I was probably 10, 11 years old. And after her baby died, and she was so heartbroken. So every time I read this passage, I think about that young lady. And after her baby died, she was so heartbroken that she buried her baby out in the field, and she would sleep with her dead baby every single day. And she actually lost her mind and went crazy. And she wouldn't, everywhere she'd go, she would walk around naked. And there would be adults that would give her clothes, and the next day or a few hours later, she would throw it all away, and she'll go around naked. And every single night, we would see her sleeping next to a dead baby and on a gravesite. So when I read the story, I think about things like that. And it really touched my heart. And I think about, you know, people that in Cambodia, without the gospel, there are people that the devil oppressed them, possessed them for many years. And in a few minutes, I'll tell you some of that story. But in this lesson, Jesus and his disciple meet with two demon-possessed men. Okay, actually, they met with two men, but only one was speaking to Jesus. And Matthew chapter 8 tells us that. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. But one man speak to Jesus. This man's life was in hardship. He was suffering from the being demon-possessed. And so when I think about that, I think about, and I didn't have it ready. It was on my computer, on my phone, I'm sorry. I don't have my phone either. I totally forget everything. Getting old, amen? And wow, sometimes you forget. So one time I was holding my phone and reading my Bible on my phone, and I saw my son, Andrew, take his mom's phone and playing game, and I started looking at him. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? And I had my phone in my hand like this, reading. And he said, Dad, you're holding it. Uh-oh, I'm sorry. But I'm forgetting everything. Amen. Old age is getting to me. But wow. But I totally forgot to bring my phone. But I have some pictures. But I think about Brother Hem, H-E-M. Before he got saved, he was demon-possessed off and on for about 10 years. And he's Cham. Cham is a people group in Cambodia that are Muslim. And I taught him, discipled him and his wife for a couple of years until I came on furlough in 2016. And now we leave it up to our national pastor. But I think about people like that. You know, it might sound weird to you here in America, but it's very common in a country like Cambodia. People are demon-possessed. Who had no hope. If church like yours does not send missionary, or do not pray, he would have no hope. And the only hope we have is, of course, Christ, just like this gentleman. And I am thankful that he's now in church with his wife, and three of their children are saved. Only one has not saved, who live in Korea, South Korea. But almost the whole family is saved from Islam and then from the power of the devil. I think about people like him, okay? And it's touched my heart. Let me go on. So this man's life was in hardship, had no hope. Society cannot help him. Let me tell you the three main points, I'm all over the place. I'm telling you, forgetting stuff. So my title is, Where is True Spiritual Freedom Found? Okay, where is true freedom found? Okay, you answer it, amen. Okay, but we want to look into that. Where is true spiritual freedom found? You know, I am thankful that I got saved. I am thankful I am a child of God. You know, if I'm not a child of God, I'm no better than somebody who's locked up, or who in the drug, who are a gang, who is a gangster. I be honest with you, that's what I wanted to be before I got saved. I be honest with you, I dream of killing people. God, I'm such a bitter person. But I'm glad God saved me from that. I'm so thankful for that. Okay? I'm thankful that God saved me from bitterness. That angry, bitter spirit had such a stronghold on my life. Okay? But I'm so thankful for that. So where is true spiritual freedom found? So in this lesson, message, I just want to share with you three types of influence. First, we're going to look at the influence of Satan. Okay, we're going to talk about the influence of Satan. Secondly, we're going to talk about the influence of society or the useless solution of societies. Okay, society have no solution for our sin problem, friends. Okay, society cannot solve our problems. We always tell people in Cambodia, let me tell you, the third point is the influence of Christ or the power and love of the Savior. I thank God for the love of Jesus, amen? I thank God that he sought me out. I thank God even though I was bitter and angry, no hope, living in sin, addicted to gambling, wanted to be in a gang, and God still sought me out. I thank God for his love. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for all the people that God used to reach out to me. That's why I'm here today, standing in front of you. Okay. I thank God for Riverdale Baptist Church in the early 80s that they went to apartment complex that with a lot of Cambodian and Vietnamese refugees, and they took our parents to church. And as a little boy, I went to church, did not understand any English. All I wanted was candies and toys, amen? That's all I wanted. But friend, those of you who work with children, but don't give up on those kids, though. All I wanted was candy, but when I grew up, as I got older, I started thinking about God. I started thinking about those people that trying to teach me, trying to tell me about Jesus. See, I thank God for the power and the love of Christ reaching down to me. And we always tell our people in Cambodia, see, that's the amazing thing about our Lord Jesus, about God, the true God. You know, when in religion, with everything else, you know, they trying to appease their God, trying to reach out to their God. But, you know, it's different with our Lord Jesus Christ. He sought us out. He reached out to us. While we were sinners in our sin, deep into our sin, into our bitterness, anger, and enjoying sin, Jesus sought us out, reached out to us. And Isaiah teaches that. Romans teaches that. None of us seek God. None of us. None seek God. And I can testify that God is the one who sought me out. I'm thankful for that. So we'll look at those three main things, and we'll get to it. But the influence of Satan, the useless solution of society, and the power and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for his love. I thank God. And I thank God for the people that God used to show me God's love. You know, we always say that the two most powerful things that can reach an unsaved person is the word of God and a godly testimony. Those two things are very powerful. And Pastor Randy talked about that a little bit in his class. But let me get down. So this morning, I just want to talk to you about those three kind of influence. And likewise, just like this gentleman who was demon-possessed, who was influenced. And same way you and I can be influenced by these three different types. Okay? If we live in our sin, the devil can oppress us. Now, if we are saved, we know that the Holy Spirit of God indwell in us. The devil cannot possess us, but he can afflict us. Okay? He can oppress us. He can put his mind, and he can affect our mind. Okay? But it's up to us. You know, do we want to be spirit-led, or we want to be flesh-led? Okay? So I just want to challenge you this morning, okay? Where is true spiritual freedom found? And I thank God for those of you that, you know, that are faithful to God, are living for him. And I thank God for the spiritual freedom that God has given me. Amen? I don't have to live in sin. I don't have to live in darkness. I don't have to be bitter. Okay? I think about bitterness. I You know, I was just a bitter, angry young person. Mad at the whole world, I'll be honest with you. Mad at my own mom. Mad at the communists for killing my father and my sister and my youngest brother. I'm talking about just angry. Okay? Even though I was like that, God still loved me. I still cannot believe and imagine that, how great God's love is. Just unbelievable. But let me go on. First of all, we'll look at number one, the influence of Satan upon this gentleman. The man had been demon-possessed for a long time. Luke chapter 8, verse 27 tells us that. So I think about the gentleman I told you earlier, him. He was 10 years, and I think I told you a couple years ago, but I never get tired of telling that story, because they now sit in church, and even though they're a little bit older than me, they look to me as like a father, because I discipled them for a couple years, okay? But he was the demon-possessed, the witch doctor in the Jam culture, could not help him. His wife she sold her land, spent all kind of money trying to get him healed from his sickness, from his demon possession. No one could help him. And I think it's 2012, Som, that's the wife, S-O-M, she realized in her heart one day, she realized that only the true God can help her husband and help her. And one of our national pastors, Vinat, witnessed to her and led her to Christ. And after that, I discipled. But she got saved. And after she got saved, you know, her husband was not saved yet. He would give her a hard time. Would throw her Bible away, throw her MP3 away where she listened to preaching, trying to prevent her from going to church, and even threatened to beat her several times. One time, she had to go to live in the capital city at our church for 2 weeks because her husband was threatened to beat her up. She was getting afflicted every single day, abused by her husband. But I think about her godly testimony. Even though her husband was cruel to her, she always had faith in God. She still attend church, read her Bible. And not only that, she was still respectful toward her husband, even though he abused her. And because of her godly testimony, it's mainly because of her. And after she got saved about a year, I think the husband got saved like 2 years later. It was unbelievable. But I thank God for some godly testimony. You know, she could easily badmouth her husband in the church. She never did that. She never did that. She could easily left her husband, but she never did that. She trusted God. She continued to love her husband. She continued to live with him, even though he was abusive. Even though sometimes he'd go crazy. And one time, this after he already made a profession of faith, one time he had a mental breakdown. Actually, he would have a mental breakdown, he would go to a funeral. I think it's a Cambodian Buddhist funeral or Islamic funeral. I forgot which one. But he would like just start witnessing everybody and give them a track. And then, he just lost his mind. He would walk. One time he walked like all day to the capital city. And then he didn't take his medicine. So one time the car was going like 30, 40 miles, but he hopped on the car and just God started tossing it off. And we took it like 3-4 of us trying to hold him down. And we had to tie him up. But this is all after he already made a profession, he had a mental breakdown. But I think about somebody like him that the devil oppressed for many years. And friend, I'm happy to tell you he's now in church and sitting with his wife. And I thank God for his godless wife. She's one of the best Christian I know. One of the best Christian I know in Cambodia. Just a godly lady. Actually, 2 weeks ago, we let her share a testimony in front of our church. 2 weeks ago, we had a celebration service. Let me back up a little bit. We usually have celebration service every 2 months. That's when we bring all the ministry, all three churches, and another ministry from Romdane, 5.5 hours away, and we'd have service together in the capital city, in the mother church, and we'd have baptism. And 2 weeks ago, we baptized about 38 people. But that's after we have not baptized about 6-7 months. So we got a good number, amen. But she shared a testimony in front of the whole church. And I don't have a picture, it's in my phone, but I'm so thankful for her godly testimony. Just a great Christian. And without her godly testimony, her husband would not be saved. Her husband would not be saved, okay? But let me go back. So the influence of Satan, the man had been demon-possessed for a long time, just like Mr. Him. The man wear no clothes and live like a subhuman or like a wild beast, wild animal. The man live among the decaying and the dead, contrary to Jewish law and human instinct. The man has supernatural strength. He rip apart the chains that they try to lock him up. The man was tormented and self-destructive. And the man had uncontrollable behavior, just like Brother Him before he got saved. Okay? I think when he had supernatural strength, I also remember 2012 or 2013, I don't remember which one, I remember Sonata was my sobering partner for 6-7 years. And we would go to his village every Tuesday, about an hour and a half away from the capital city. And I remember one time we met a gentleman like that. In Cambodia, there's some people in the village. I remember one time we met a gentleman, a grown man in his almost 40 years old, okay? And his parents had called the authority to lock him up, and tie him up, lock him up with chains, and they would let him stay at just a little shack because his behavior was uncontrolled. He would if they don't lock him up, he would bring to people's house. He would steal stuff. I know he was demon possessed. I don't know. He was just mentally ill. I have no idea. But I remember a thing like that when I remember meeting that gentleman. I think about Legion. But this man was, his parents had him locked up. He was already in his early 40s. No one could control him. Now, he didn't have supernatural strength like Legion, or we'd be in trouble because we were witnessing to him. Okay? And because he was locked up, everything was right there. I mean, the smell was bad because they locked him up. So the restroom, the parents bring him food every single day. Okay? But I remember, if only he could understand the gospel. If only he could say, he'll gain spiritual freedom. And I think about that gentleman. I remember Sinatra and I, we trying to witness him several times. And we trying to get close to him. And, but later on, he never got saved and all that. Later on, we heard that it gotten better or something like that. I'm not sure. But I think about people like that. Okay, and I also think about how many more other people are like him that no one can control, that's out of their mind, that has no hope. Okay, without God, there's no hope. Doesn't matter where you have, in America, Cambodia, Vietnam, Africa, doesn't matter, friends. Without Christ, there's no hope. Okay, there's no hope. Let me go on. So first of all, we see the influence of Satan. And I think about even Chai. He's a young man. He's, I think he's 28, 29 years old. He's got a wife and I think 3 or 4 kids now. And before Chai got saved, now Chai, his name is Chai, C-H-H-A-Y. He grew up in his father and his mom, they both were witch doctors. And the Jam culture. People who are sick, people who need healing, they would go to his father. And his father died without Christ several years ago. And his mom just passed away without Christ about 5 years ago. But I think about Chai, who God saved, now who's living for God, and grew up in a home that the mom and dad were witch doctors. Okay? In the Jam culture, if you Google it up, I think you can, you might be able to find YouTube. My friend and I used to watch a little bit. They have called the Dance to the Devil. And they would do ceremony, and they would get a lot, some people dance, they would call it literally Dance to the Devil. So it's very demonic. Okay? And I'm thankful that Chai is now saved, amen?
Okay.
But he grew in that home where his father was a well-known witch doctor in the Jam community. Very popular, actually. And his parents wanted him one day to become a witch doctor just like them. But I'm thankful. We also allowed him to share testimony a couple weeks ago. I'm thankful now he's saved and serving God. Saved and serving God. So first of all, we look at the influence of Satan. But secondly, let's look at the useless solution of society. Society cannot help this gentleman. Couldn't do anything for him. They couldn't even control him. Okay? And friend, let me remind you, okay? The answer to our life problems is not society. It's God. Doesn't matter where you go. Okay? Don't look to culture, don't look to our society, our culture for a solution. You know, or don't even look to the government, okay? People, you know, to me it's very sad when people just look to the government to solve their problems. But they need God, they need Jesus. We tell our people all the time, you need God. And the government there in Cambodia is very corrupt, but they need God. I'm thankful that I get to work among my people. I'm thankful that I get to tell them about Christ. You need God. Culture, society can't help you. Okay? And we see the society, the useless solution of society. They're trying to bind him. He broke everything. No one could tame him. Okay? At one time, this gentleman probably lived among everybody else. He probably had a good name. Now nobody wants to do anything with him. No one. Okay? Demon possessed. At one time, probably working at a regular job, had a wife and children probably, but now he's by himself, and no one in society can help him. No one in society can help him. And we remind you of that. Okay, we always tell our people that we as human beings, we have all kinds of problems. Sometimes we lack food. Sometimes we get sick. Sometimes we get in a fight with our neighbors, amen. And some these problems, you know, we can solve our own, but the only problem we cannot solve is our sin problem. Only problem we cannot solve on our own is our sin problem. And that's what we tell our people there in Cambodia. If you lack food, you find a job, you can work and make money, and you can buy food, okay, if you're not lazy. Okay, noble ideas, amen. I see so many people here in America. Wow, unbelievable. I just say wow, just like that. I'll leave it there, amen. But lazy people, there's everywhere. America, Cambodia, everywhere, all over the world. But if only people listen to the Bible, amen, listen to God, amen. You don't work, you don't eat, amen. Solve a lot of problems. But we'll tell our people, okay, you lack medicine, get a job. If you get sick, buy medicine. Can help yourself. You don't get along with your neighbor, forgive them. Your relationship can be healed. You can be reconciled. But the only problem you cannot solve on your own is your sin problem. Your sin problem. And that's our problem. That's the biggest problem in our lives, friend. It's sin. Everywhere you see sin. Okay? here in Pasco, in the Tri-City area, Cambodia, people in living sin. Cambodia, I can tell you all kinds of stuff, a third world country, a lot of red light districts, a lot of young girls sold into prostitution. I tell you all kinds of story. Okay? But what people need is God. Only God can help them, can solve the problem of sin, can solve that problem. Okay? Society cannot help us. Just like society cannot help this gentleman. He was locked up, living among the tombs. Okay? Living among dead people. Just think about that. Okay? He wore no clothes. You know, our life before we got saved, as unsaved people, to be honest, it's not that much different from even this demon-possessed gentleman. You know, I tell you for myself, like, before I got saved, the thing that you used to wear, you think it was all cool. Okay. I tell our church people now, it's like, unbelievable the fashion these days. It's influenced to Southeast Asia. People like to wear those jeans that have holes in them and sell them. That's in Asian country also. I'm like, unbelievable. You know, how we think. If we don't know God, I remember I wear those kind of jeans when I was a teenager with holes and everything. I thought it was all cool. Amen? Okay. And I thought it was cool that no shirt, walking around no shirt with like 3, 4, 5 whisker right here. And you know, I thought it was cool. As a teenager, I kept like 5 pieces of hair growing from here. And I walked around. Man, I looked back, man, that's so stupid and dumb, amen? But only, you think about it, only knowing God, you know, you understand truth and light's coming to your life. You understand that, you know, you want to dress properly for God. Okay? But as an unsaved person, I would, you know, flip-flop. Even in the beginning, when I went to church, you know, I didn't know how to dress yet at the church. I would just put on a jean and T-shirt and sandal, flip-flop to church. You know, later on, my pastor had to teach me, you start wearing a tie and a shirt. I said, what is a tie? I hated tie and all that stuff. But, you know, think about it. Without God, you don't know how to care yourself, don't know how to behave. You're basically out of control. I used to listen to rap all the time. Gamble 24/7 on Friday and Saturday. And you don't know. You think Americans love to like the gambles. Asian people love to gamble, trust me. Okay? In Cambodia, everybody and the whole family gamble. Okay, a lot of them, they get so much debt. But I was no different as an unsaved teenager. Okay, I made my mom cry many times because my gambling problem. When I was 15, 16 years old, I steal my mom's money to gamble. You didn't care what's right or wrong. Your life is out of control. You think about it. See, our life before we knew God, not that much different from being demon possessed, to be honest with you. But you live under the power of the devil before you and I got saved. Okay, under the power of the devil, and we do whatever our sin nature, our flesh, want us to do. That's what we did. Okay, so secondly, the useless solution of society. My time's about to be out, but this is what I want to talk about the most, amen? Just give me about 2 hours, amen? No, I'm just kidding. But you let me stay here long enough, I'll tease you a lot. But let me go down to the third point, and we'll finish there. Thirdly, I want you to see the power and the love of our Savior, of the Savior. Okay, I forgot. I have several verses, but we don't have time. Even on point one, the influence of Satan in John chapter 10, verse 10. All the devil is wanting to do is just for us to kill us, to destroy our lives, to steal. The devil don't want anything good for us. We got to remember that. Okay? There's nothing good in the devil. And it just shocked me. I think a couple of days ago, I saw something on the internet where they have this group. They're out in public. They tell everybody that worship the devil, and they dress in all black just for Satan. And I've even seen people that put horns on the head or something, just very demonic. Okay. But secondly, we see the useless solution of society. Society cannot help us. Cannot help this gentleman, demon possessed. Cannot help people like Chai. Cannot help people like him, who were demon possessed for 10 years off and on. Who his wife spent all their money, sold their land, trying to get medicine, trying to help him out. Nothing helped. And I think they just had a big land, plot of land. They sold everything. She sold everything trying to help her husband. Nothing helped. Only after he got saved. Okay? Society cannot help us, friend. And thirdly, the power and the love of the Savior. Okay? The power and the love of the Savior. I'll just tell you three main things under that, and we'll be done. Okay? First of all, God is bigger than our problem. Okay, whatever problem we have, he's bigger than that. Isn't that great? You have whatever problem we go through, we have a God who is way bigger than anything we have. That's why I'm thankful I'm a child of God. Okay, God is bigger than anything that we go through. I think about, I've been staying with Brother Chris and talking about Sophia. She's our miracle child. And you would not notice it, but it's as healthy as you can be. But she was born not even 7 months. Doctor only gave her 30% chance to live. And we had to pump oxygen into her 24/7 for the first week. She was in the hospital for almost 3 months. Okay, but now she talked like crazy. Not this one, the youngest one. This is Lynn. Lynn keep looking at me crazy. My daughter, if she gets mad at me, she's giving me that stare. I'm like, relax, relax, relax. Okay? So us three, we're a jokester, you know. We have a lot of fun in the car. But the little one, she's a chatterbox. That's her one of the nicknames. But you could never tell that she went through that ordeal the first 3 months she was born. And even though we went all that problem, but God, I thank God for sparing her life. She brings my wife and I so much joy. We are so grateful that God gave us, spared her life. And she's the most talkative in the family. Us five combined don't talk much as her. So in the car, Lynn and I, we were coming from Oregon. We stopped in Oregon. We came here to Washington. And all day, from one question to the next, okay, sometimes I cannot answer her question. I'm like, can you talk about something else? Then when we fell asleep, me and Lynn celebrated. Yes! Yes! She's knocked out. And we were relieved. Amen? You can ask my daughter. We were relieved. She had to care for her sister. She's a good big sister. My wife trained her very well, do laundry. She teaches her sister. She's learning to play piano, everything. So very grateful. But what I'm saying is God is bigger than any problem we have. I remember telling you guys 3 years, 2.5 years ago, when we first went to Cambodia as missionary, after 2 weeks, my mom had a stroke. She went with us. Then the third week, Sophia was born, not even 7 months. But it grew us so much. God was so good to us. You know, sometimes, I know you're probably like me, I wish God would tell us ahead of time what we're going to face. Amen. But he doesn't tell us. That's why it's called living by faith. Okay? But I'm glad I went through all that. Now, I'll be honest with you, because what we went through, really nothing surprised me. Nothing take me by surprise. All I know is, all I can tell you is that God is in control. God is bigger than anything we go through.
Friend, I want to challenge, I want to encourage you, remind you of that.
Doesn't matter what you go through, God is bigger than our problems. Okay? Secondly, my time is out. God is bigger than the fear that we have in our lives. Whatever you're fearing, if you fear going on the mission field, or you fear living by faith, fear moving out, God calling you to Bible college, I don't know. Okay? I remember as in 96, I was 26 already, my church in Georgia mostly didn't have any Asian ministry, anything like that. I was going to a church with mostly white American. Okay, but I was a bus captain, bus ministry. But I found a church in California that reached out, that worked with the Cambodian people. And God already called me to work with my people. And I drove from Georgia to California in a car, in a Grand Prix. Okay, Chevrolet, I don't know what. But by myself to California, and this is a guy growing up in the South, amen. And you know, I grew up in Atlanta in the South, and I thought everybody is friendly, amen. When I moved to California, totally different. Okay, gangster, everything. Oh, people on welfare, never mind. Let me go on. But I grew up in Georgia. Everybody worked hard. Most everybody in the 80s, anyway, 80 and 90. I don't know about now, but. You know, I'm thankful, but I knew that God called me, and I knew that God is bigger than any fear that I had. And I had to move by myself from Georgia. You got to remember, I won't go into it, but as a young person, single young adult, and moving to California, that's a different world for me, from Atlanta to California. Okay, if you ever live in California, you know what I mean, amen? Should be our own country, amen? No, I'm just kidding. Thirdly, God is bigger than the devil or Satan and darkness. Okay, I want to remind you that, friends. It's not nothing complicated, nothing deep. But just remind you, okay, God is bigger than the devil. The devil cannot do anything to you and I unless we allow him to. He cannot afflict us, oppress us, unless we allow him to. Okay? The devil can afflict us through bitterness, through pornography, drugs, witchcraft, okay? And I remind you, I even as a missionary, you'd be surprised, I know at least two missionaries that if you talk to them, they sound very bitter. Even for myself, I got to guard against that. I cannot get bitter at my people if they don't open themselves to God, if they deceive us or they use us for money. We get that a lot. Borrow our money. They look at us. I can tell you all kinds of stuff. So I got to guard against that. Even as missionary, being bitter at my own people. Okay? But God is bigger than the devil and darkness. And remember that, friend. Remember that. Okay? So the love and the power of the Savior. I don't know what you're going through, friends, but God is bigger than our problems. What society, what people need, doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter what country you live in. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Jesus is the only Savior, the only true God. Okay. I thank God he saved me. I stand here in front of you because of Jesus Christ. I can stand here in front of you teaching you and sharing you the word of God, testimony, without being bitter, no bitterness. I've witnessed a communist soldier that was a communist soldier that killed people in the last 8-10 years. I can witness them without no problem, with no anger, no bitterness. I can only do that through the power of God, because of Jesus Christ. And close your eyes. Thank you so much for listening. Pastor, I just want to hand it to you.
The power of God that freed the demonic from Satan is the same power of God that raised Lazarus from the dead, that raised Christ from the dead, that raises us from spiritual death. If you're here this morning, everybody in this room this morning has a need. If you're not yet a Christian, you need the Lord. And you don't know how desperately that is. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, but you have bitterness or anger or disappointment, you need to give that to the Lord. If you're here this morning and you're married and you're struggling in your marriage, if God can cast the demons into the swine and raise the dead to life, He can heal any marriage. If you're here and you're having a hard time with your kids and your kids are having a hard time with you as parents, God can fix that. God wants peace in the home. There is no problem, just like you said, Brother Two, no problem so large that the goodness and the greatness of God can't overcome it. If you've been struggling with your spiritual walk and you've not been sincere with the Lord, and you know it, you know when you're close and you know when you're far. If you, like the prodigal, have taken a journey away, come back. God's here right now calling each and every one of us. I'd like to invite the companies to come and play, please. 486 is the hymn. Let's all stand together as we sing this. I surrender all. I want to just challenge you this morning as we stand and sing. Whatever God's laying on your heart to do, please do it. Please do it. The power of God that rose Christ from the dead is the same power that God wants to use in you and I to serve Him with victory. I surrender all.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender.
To ask as we sang that chorus, I surrender all, were we being honest? Were we being honest with the Lord? If God's calling you to come out and pray, please come and do that. If you've never accepted Him as your Savior, please come and do that. We'd love to show you out of the Bible how God's plan of salvation is a perfect plan that frees you from all the things that you thought you could never be free from, and replace that hard heart of bitterness and anger with a heart that's soft and full of the love of the Lord. Amen. And you can know the peace that passes understanding. Folks, this side of heaven, there's no place better to be than walking with the Lord. No place better to be. If you're here this morning and you honestly know, hey, my life's not what it should be, you can come and pray now. Someone will pray with you. There's no formal plan. You come and pray, someone will pray with you. I guarantee you, because the Holy Spirit knows what you need, and He knows on somebody else's heart that they need to come and pray. If you need your marriage to be healed, folks, let's not fool ourselves. Marriages have struggles sometimes. They have difficulty sometimes. The only way to have a good marriage is to be completely obedient to the Word of God. Amen. Surrender together to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever God's calling you to do, I mean, we're not in a hurry. We're going from here to lunch. Let's deal with the Lord. Let's deal with the Lord. Forget about the clock for a minute. Forget about the menu. Forget about the picnic basket. Forget about all that. Right now, today's the day of salvation. Today is the day when we say, I'm going to get things right. I'm going to get things right. Let's sing stanza two.
All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. precious Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Tu. Thank you for the message, for the reminder about the fact that Satan wants to do nothing but destroy lives.